Hey, check out these sweet reindeer socks. Only 99 cents.
Oh, yeah? Got this Samsung Tab 4 8.0 from AT&T for free.
Free?
Had a hard time finding a stocking it would fit in, though.
Whoa, no need to rub it in.
Rubbing it in would be telling you I got the tablet for free when I bought a new Samsung Galaxy smartphone on AT&T Next. Which I did.
Oh, AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Free tablet requires 2-year agreement. Must activate eligible service on both Galaxy devices. Fees, charges, and restrictions apply. Available at select locations. See store for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTurner.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTurner, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTurner, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, at TotalTutor. One of the most amazing weeks, I guess, in my radio career, about 40 interviews this week. Again, the Miami Book Fair International covering Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to be quite interested in some of those topics. Got to start promoting that soon. I tell you, when Thanksgiving comes, I'll be happy to have a little bit of a break leading into almost the anniversary, 6 years of radio. But my guest tonight, I don't know if we're going to start with Revelation, because I know that my guest at boxofsunglasses.com, Rob Roselli, has a lot to talk about, and we'll see when we get to Revelation. So I want to welcome program author Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. The whole world's turned upside down in 1 week, hasn't it?
Well, I've been tweeting all week and predicting. It's the chaos model. It's the phoenix rising out of the ashes, the symbol of Freemasonry. So, unfortunately, everything is going according to schedule, as our so-called, well, not so-called, but our actual leaders have planned for us in honor of their god, Chaos.
And it's amazing to look at, and I know you want to reflect, and maybe you can reflect on some scripture verses through this. When you see something like Paris happen, and you have a president in France who's willing to go to war against ISIS, ground troops with Russia, and asking the United States to join, this looks like chaos in the Middle East if this happens. Are you for that? Do you want us to be allies with Russia and France? And that's what we're about to embark on. Again, I see isolationism as what we're going to do, and that we're going to ignore our so-called allies, aren't we?
I mean, the whole Middle East policy, or if you call it a policy, is in shambles. Nothing makes any sense. It's pure insanity, stupidity, foolishness, whatever you want to call it. I think you just start with Obama, okay, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize winning, drone-killing, warmongering maniac in the White House. It didn't just start with him. I mean, the Bushes had a lot to do with this also, but it's a disjointed policy of insanity. You know, basically there's this al-Nusra and ISIS. I mean, they're all related to the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, or Al-Qaeda, as many people like to call them, many conspiracy kooks. They were founded by the United States and the CIA to fight the Russians. They're the ones trying to topple Assad in Syria. I mean, Assad, maybe not the greatest guy in the world, is not that bad a leader, considering what he's dealing with in the Middle East. And Syria, according to people that have been there, and actual Syrians, and not these Fox News neocon warmongering psychopaths that you see on the news every day. But according to actual Syrians, I mean, Assad was not that bad a leader. But that's neither here nor there. Why the United States is obsessed with this guy and getting rid of him is really, it's surreal. And this morning on the neocon network, Fox News, I saw Jeb Bush, you know, another member of the Bush crime family syndicate, getting on there saying, you know, we have to go in and get Assad. We should be against the Russians because Assad's such a terrible guy, killing 200,000 of his own citizens. I mean, the same line of crap that these jerk-offs keep putting out, I cannot believe they're recycling these old lines. And let me tell you something. I'm reading a book called Planet Rothschild, Okay, and it goes back, it's documenting United States history going back almost to the, really to the Revolution, and how this country has really been run by the British Rothschilds, and in fact the world, which believe it or not really does fit into Revelation a lot better than these prophets of God and their comic book Antichrist. But anyway, going back to the days of Teddy Roosevelt and the lines and the lies and the propaganda USS Maine going back to the Spanish American War, World War One, the Lusitania, and on and on and on, and the catchphrases, making the world safe for democracy, and in World War One, calling the German soldiers barbarians and killing small children, and all sort of thing. And then it made me think, the propaganda made me think of the first Gulf War with the second generation of Bush crime family syndicate with George Sr. Remember him? Remember the lines and the lines of crap we got for that? Now Saddam Hussein was funded, really funded and put in power by the United States in 1990. Oh, you know, he's a bad guy. He's looking to take Kuwait. After we did nothing to stop him, and according to many sources, in fact, encouraged them to take Kuwait. But then, remember what it was? You had that, I think, I forget her name. She got on the air and said, oh, you know, Saddam Hussein's, you know, ripping babies from incubators in hospitals, and he's this terrible guy. And it all turned out to be a bunch of lies, okay? And I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was a great guy, okay? But the point is, it's just the same recycled lines and pile of crap that we're being fed to get us into these wars with no point and no end. Okay, and the reason we're told, you know, some people, well, obviously, we have the reasons that the neocons and, you know, and the John Boltons and these other, and the John McCains and these other psychopaths and what's that other idiot's name? Can't think of his name off the top of my head right now, and George Will and these other people and the Bushes. You know, right. You got the neocon reason. We have to go in there and make the world safe for democracy and defending our freedom. That's another one of my favorite lines. Defending our freedom from who? From a bunch of archaic 7th century towel heads in the Middle East who wouldn't be able to shoot straight were it not for us supplying them with weapons over there and they're hiding in their caves. We're defending our freedom from them. Not that these people wouldn't kill us off given the chance. But that's the opportunity. We arm these people.
We armed them.
We nurture them. And then we turn around and use them as an excuse to get us involved in these wars, okay? It keeps the military-industrial complex. It keeps that whole machine well-oiled and going. Okay, remember Eisenhower, former World War II Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. So we got that whole crowd. You know, we keep those wheels nice and greased, and we keep that machine moving forward. Just like you know, George Orwell, just like I think it was Oceania in Orwell's 1984, I mean, with a nation at perpetual war overseas fighting these phantom enemies, like we're fighting this so-called war on terror. Okay, and again, I'm not saying these are good people, and that they, if given the choice, they would not kill us all. But we nurture these people, we encourage them, and then we got the scam artists letting these people into this country, these so-called Syrian refugees, letting these people into this country unvetted, in a psychopathic move that makes no sense unless you are a certified psychopath and you are a sellout to your own country and you wanted something like Paris to happen in this country. On purpose, okay? And I say that emphatically because nothing else makes any logical sense for what Obama is trying to do. And you take a step back and you say, this is insanity, but on some level it makes sense, okay? And then you got the other, then you go down one level to the so-called conspiracy theorists. A lot of people I've been reading have been saying that this is all about defending the petrodollar and, you know, we're really, that's what these wars are, and we're fighting Russia and China to defend the petrodollar. So you know what? That doesn't make any sense either when you think about it. So if you think about that, so the people trying to defend these international bankers, okay, these maniacs, these Satan-worshipping psychopaths that run the world, they're trying to defend the petrodollar, but at the same time, they're the ones that gave us the petrodollar. They're the ones that gave us this Federal Reserve System and the printing press and this creation of fiat money. So why would they go out and try to defend that petrodollar Okay, it just, again, it does not make any sense. And this is, and what I'm trying to do right now is make sense of complete nonsense and chaos. Okay, so I don't believe that's the case either. I don't believe they're trying to defend anything. I believe, okay, if you go onto my site, boxofsunglasses.com, the only solution or the only answer that makes sense is if you go on my site, okay, you go to the table of contents, and you go right to a page called The Occult Conspiracy, okay, it's page 9. Okay, you start with that. In other words, you get onto the site and an opening page, and I hope people buy my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. It's a snapshot of the maniacs, the Hitler financing, Hitler supporting, Darwinist social evolution. We are better than the world. We're going to kill the world, literally, psychopaths. It's a snapshot of that on the Un-American Genocidal Complex. Okay, the book's available when you get on the site. But you scroll through the table of contents and go to page 9, something called The Occult Conspiracy. Okay, that's kind of like a clearinghouse or the nerve center, if you will, of the site. If you go on there, it explains and it lays out the case of what is really going on in the world. Okay, so again, to review, it definitely does not have anything to do with the Bush / Clinton / Obama / Fox News neocon.
So you're basically
maniacs.
Believing that both sides, the Republican, what do they call the Republicans that are not Tea Partiers? They're considered the Republican establishment.
Like rhinos, Republicans in name
establishment,
only.
Or the establishment, the Republican establishment. You're thinking that that's, again, another system not to trust, just like you don't trust the Democratic Party.
Oh, it's a joke. I mean, come on. It's a joke. I mean, maybe joke's not the right word because it's really not that funny. But, you know, again, what I'm saying, you know, just to recap what I was just saying is that the first layer is, again, is the Fox News, John McCain, John Bolton, Bush, Clinton, neocon maniacs are defending our freedom, Saddam / Gaddafi / Assad, whoever kills their own people. That whole crowd's full of crap. And then the next crowd that kind of makes a legitimate attempt to explain what's going on, the defending the petrodollar crowd, they missed the mark too. So really only thing that makes sense is the occult conspiracy. And in there, you know, it lays out the case of 3 world wars brought to us courtesy of the international crime banking syndicate, the Rothschild family, and its Americans offshoots, the Morgans, the Rockefellers, and other names that may be less familiar to people, Vanderbilt, Carnegies, the Fords, okay, these sort of people, the international bankers, okay, these are the money changers, okay, or this is a group represented by the money changers and the Pharisees, okay, that are laid out in the 4 Gospels, okay, so in Matthew 21, for instance, when Jesus chases these guys out of the temple with whips, okay, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, okay, who came to this earth and literally forgave, prayed to his Father and asked him to forgive the guys, the Roman soldiers that were literally nailing him to death, but that chased the money changers out of the temple and then asked their allies, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how can you escape being condemned to hell? Okay, this is that group that is symbolized in the Gospels, okay, running the world. This is the nexus of the evil. These are Satan's children. Okay, and I mean that both literally and figuratively, that are running a world. That's what's at play here, and this is the nexus of what we've been talking about, going through Revelation 17 and 18. And this is why forget
mm-hmm.
all these people, forget this concept of this, you know, Damien from the Omen, Antichrist, you know, sitting there with a cattle brand, you know, branding people with 666 and, you know, two horns and sitting there in some stupid temple in Jerusalem that's still has to get rebuilt. And start looking at, you know, through the lens of current events and what's really going on in the world. Because if you pay attention to those people, the 20,000 plus people that get up there on Sunday mornings and, you know, John Hagee's and these type, if you listen to those people, you're going to miss a whole lot. Okay, so I'm telling you, it is happening. It's unfolding right before our eyes. These people are shot. There's no hope for these people. Their hearts are hardened, just like the Pharaoh. Going back to Exodus in the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the story of the Exodus and the 10 plagues and Moses trying to rationalize with Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh, you know, again, there's, you know, we've been talking about this the last several weeks. There's definitely an occult aspect to this, as symbolized by Pharaoh, the reincarnation of the sun god, Osiris, Ra, or Apollo, variations or whatever you want to call them, but that is the son of God. Okay, that was Pharaoh. So that is a representation, an earthly representation of the direct conflict between good and evil. Okay, and remember, Pharaoh would not pay attention to Moses. Even it took God literally the death of the firstborn in Egypt. Okay, and just to speak to that for a second, okay, people are sitting out there and they're saying, and this is where people say, oh, God, I mean, he's a ruthless God, and we don't like that God, he's mean. You know, these jerk-offs like Rick Barnes and get out there and try to make friends with everybody, and, you know, we don't really like that God, he's mean. But, again, you have to listen to what I'm saying. This is the crowd that he's dealing with. There's no other way to deal with these people, okay? This is pure evil. It's unmitigated, it's unreachable, it's unrecoverable. These people are shot, okay? So you kill the firstborn, and it's the tenth plague going back to the book of Exodus, and that's what it took. And then they let the Israeli or the Jewish people go, okay, which is represented, you know, if you look in Matthew chapter 2, and, you know, and it says, you know, fulfill the, you know, again, I'm calling my people out of Egypt, okay, that's in Matthew chapter 2. And Egypt, of course, at this point, representing the whole world. So what is God saying? That just like in the ancient world of Egypt, now the whole world is Egypt. And remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago with the Great Pyramid on the back of our fiat Federal Reserve.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break. We'll get back. I'm going to jump back to Revelation. Great points you made in this first segment. I knew you had a lot to say. I know you're fired up. The predictions are happening. And if we see a terrorist attack in the United States in the next 6 months, more, if we decide not to have ground troops and we decide to ignore this for another year and a half, more problems are going to happen. And we're slowly going to get into a world war. And that could be something to talk about in a prophecy later on. But you're in prophecy, again, boxofsunglasses.com to purchase the book and learn more about Robert Sally. The truth is he's calling for the end of the United States as who the United States is. He's not calling for the end of the world. He doesn't know when that's going to happen. But he's seeing the dismantling of our United States of America and brick by brick, and he's highlighting it in his book and also on this show. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, Tolter.net for more information. On Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Tolter, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Tolter. I'm with Rob Roselli, boxsunglasses.com to purchase a book and learn more about him. Rob, do you agree? It's the dismantling of the United States that we're seeing right now. The United States, we know it, is slowly but surely being destroyed. And that's what you're calling for in your...
Well, let me just answer your questions on two levels, okay? On one level, this destruction of the United States, what was the greatest nation in the history of the world, okay? This is by design, all right? And I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists. I know there's a lot of people out there. All the founders were Freemasons and all this. I think that's just pure stupidity. That doesn't make any sense, okay? Because very simply, if we would follow or if we would have followed the formula given to us by our founders, okay, and did everything exactly as they prescribed, we would have no, quote, conspiracy. Okay, and I realize they were imperfect. Okay, you know, some of them, you know, had slaves. You know, slavery was a big issue at the founding. They weren't quite sure what to do with it. You know, a lot of founders did want to get rid of it, but anyway. And then their treatment of the Indians, the American Indians, okay, was somewhat abysmal. I would agree with that. But in the aggregate, okay, this nation, but a lot of people that make those criticisms forget the positive aspects of what this nation has done, and it always cracks me up, you know, these people, you know, today, you know, these Black Lives Matter and this other crowd, these so-called American liberals, progressives, they have no problem bashing the country, but at the same time, they have no problem living off its benefits, which makes them about the biggest hypocrites and the biggest illogical morons that are out there. But anyway, I don't want to go off on that right now. But anyway, as a whole, the founding of this nation was the greatest nation in the history of the world, and there has been a concerted effort by the aforementioned families, okay, the Rothschild family and its underlings, American underlings, the Rockefeller Standard Oil crowd, the J.P. Morgan, the Goldman Sachs crowd, i.e. the international bankers behind the Federal Reserve System. There has been a concerted effort through items like the tax-exempt foundations, okay, that fund a lot of the concentration has been in the American media and the American education system to destroy this nation from within. And what we're seeing today in today's current events is the manifestation of these efforts where this country has been decayed and destroyed from within. So a guy like Obama, first of all, the fact that this guy ever got elected to be president and the fact that he's still president, the fact that he's doing what he's doing, is just a manifestation of an effort, of an ongoing effort that, you know, the Darwinists, as I discussed in the American Genocidal Complex, those maniac Darwinists, okay, who really do, by the way, believe that white people are superior. I mean, all these idiots have to do, these progressives and all these people that talk about institutional racism. Okay, we Christians have been warning about this and trying to get rid of Darwinism. We never wanted Darwinism. And if you read the subtitle to Darwin's book, okay, The Preservation of the Favored Races and the Struggle for Life, that could just as easily have been written by Adolf Hitler, which makes a lot of sense because the American Genocidal Complex is what gave us Hitler. But you want to talk about institutional racism, okay? Again, it all ties back to the superiority complex, and these people have knighted themselves or granted themselves godhood, and they really do hate humanity as a whole, okay? So their goal is chaos, okay? So they fund all these movements. They keep us fighting each other and feeding off hatred of each other, okay? So in the big picture, to answer your question, that has been the long-term plan for the destruction of the United States, and unfortunately, they have succeeded. Okay, we're a house that's been eaten by termites from within. Now, in the context of current events, yes, now we're going to get involved in this mess, or we're going to get more deeply involved in this, you know, this Fox News, these idiot Fox News morons who get out there and say, oh, we got to go there and fight the Russians and make the world safer democracy, and the same recycled lines of crap that I just was talking about before. Okay, now we got to go fight the Russians, or we got to ally with the Russians. I mean, nothing, when you step back, nothing makes any sense. I mean, we were supposed to be fighting Al-Qaeda, yet it's their groups. I mean, they're the ones that have remanifested themselves as ISIS with the United States support of these so-called moderate Syrian rebels. Take out a leader who's not nearly as bad as the ISIS rebels that we support, and then the Russians go in there, and they start bombing these guys who supposedly we've been bombing, but we haven't really been bombing for the past year. Now this thing happens in Paris, which has a lot of earmarks of the September 11th attacks, by the way, as far as it being really hard to digest that the Western intelligence agencies missed such a coordinated attack. But anyway, that's speculation. But anyway, what I'm getting at is it does not make any sense. And again, you have people saying that we need to fight the Russians because the Russians are trying to defend Assad and Assad's a really bad guy. It's like, wait a second. First of all, who the hell are we? Who are we? We have the audacity to get on the international stage, you know, as some kind of enlightened people. I hate this term American exceptionalism, okay, that these people like Rush Limbaugh want to keep saying, hey, Americans, we're exceptional because we won. If we're fortunate enough to be born in this country, you know, as it still stands, you know, the decay notwithstanding, it's got something to do with exceptionalism, okay? If you're a Christian, you really what it comes down to is you won the birth lottery, okay? Being born in the greatest nation in the history of the world. And whatever exceptionalism we have, and yeah, it's due to human effort, but we have been blessed, at least we have been, it's no longer
absolutely
true, in my humble opinion. We've been blessed by God, and we've had that fortune. We've had the greatest political body, the founders, the greatest political documents, and there's a lot of divine coincidences that maybe we can spend a whole show talking about that happened, George Washington and all this sort of thing, and happened that conspired to make this nation what it is, okay? So we should be humble. We should be more acting like Paul in the book of Acts and the apostles and even Jesus himself and, you know, washing his disciples' feet, going back to John chapter 13 and this sort of thing. This is what we really should be. We don't stand up, and we're not supposed to go around the world making the world safer democracy. Who the hell are we? And by the way, what about all these nations in Africa? I mean, if you read what's going on in Africa, forget the whole Black Lives Matter, forget those morons for a second. If you read the genocide that these countries are billing to each other, what's been going on in Africa? You know, by that extension of logic, you know, why are we going after Assad, who was a relatively popular leader, who was a secular leader, who did grant religious rights and people, the economy was decent and people lived decent lives? We're obsessed with this guy, yet we're not a word about, say, Saudi Arabia. Okay, and that's a whole other joke. Okay, here we are, our ally in the war on terrorists, Saudi Arabia. Okay. I don't even know where to begin with the human rights violations and the women's rights violations of what they do. And then you read about what's going on in Sudan, with the northern part of Sudan oppressing, enslaving, murdering the largely black population in southern Sudan. And what's going on? Then you have Nigeria, and back in the 90s, going back to Rwanda. Okay, 800,000 people slaughtered in cold blood, and on and on and on. All over the world, yet this nation is obsessed with this guy Assad. Again, there's no logical reason for it. It's just it's a psychopathic attempt to get this world involved in a third world war, to clean out the decks. It's the phoenix rising from the ashes. It's our occult overlords carrying out, using these useful idiots, okay, these maniacs in the so-called religion of peace, to carry out their war for them, okay? We are on, another way to look at this is we are on a precipice of World War III with Russia for no other reason than to get rid of another stable Middle Eastern government. We did it in Afghanistan. We did it in Iraq. We did it in Libya, okay? And we're about to do it again in Syria, okay? We're taking out leaders that maybe aren't the greatest guys in the world, but we're creating these power vacuums, and they're being replaced with these 7th century throwback maniacs, okay? And now that the Russians have gotten involved, because they're not going to let their ally Assad, they're not going to let him fall, we're pushing the buttons for World War III, okay? And this dovetails into our conversation on Revelation 17 and 18. And by the way, don't think that Putin, I mean, if I'm just here, I'm sitting in my freaking basement, okay, like some kind of dork, okay, and I'm doing this research, just perusing a handful of websites that I peruse every day. If I got this figured out, okay, don't think that Putin and the Russians, okay, the Russians don't joke around, or maybe Saddam Hussein, I mean, you know, maybe he was a putz, okay, at the end of the day, the guy, he was a United States puppet, and he was a putz. I mean, he took George Bush out there, you know, flying onto this aircraft carrier, saying, you know, we beat Saddam. What was it? You know, mission accomplished. And what was it, like April of 2003? Remember that stunt? So think about it. So you put the New York Yankees in a Little League. You put the New York Yankees in a Little League World Series and then have a party and celebrate when they win. That's about the equivalent of that what Bush did. Okay, that skull and bones maniac. Okay, that establishment hack, the Bush crime family. Okay, you know, tracing their lineage back to, you know, their founding back to the Harriman Railroad interests. You know, the Nazi supporters of World War II. That's the history of the Bush crime family. Okay, but for him to get on there and pull a stunt like that, and 12 years later, here we are, a power vacuum in Iraq, and now whatever government is left in Iraq is joining up with the Russians because we've sold them out like we sell out every other ally in the world. The world is getting tired of our antics, okay, and now Russia is filling a vacuum, and Putin's coming in, and if you look at it, the United States is increasingly becoming a joke. Militarily, industrially, economically, the United States is a joke, as indicated by our so-called leader. Maybe the press in this country and these morons and these Ivy League utopian morons that think Obama is the greatest thing since sliced bread, maybe they still buy into this guy's line of crap. But the entire world is looking at us. The entire world is laughing at us. The entire world hates us because of the hypocrisy that we've just been going through and everything I've been saying. Okay, so again, it's funneling in to this conversation. Remember last week what we said, the whore, i.e. the United States, sits on the beast. But
yeah,
the beast,
no, I think when we get back, I think we're ready to jump back into Revelation. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And Putin, I'm really nervous about, is just waiting for us to fall, and then he could just start taking out the pieces and take over the whole Middle East and then try to build another empire again. And that's possible. And then if the United States doesn't want to fight anymore, the real scary thing is, I don't care if you're not a warmonger. You don't like war. You have to defend yourself. And to think after a Russian airliner was blown up by ISIS, all these other terrorist attacks, and terrorists that we're not going to fight when they're saying death to America and they're threatening us, and then they're telling the next places they're going to do an attack, you got to go after it. You have to go to the core and destroy ISIS. Then there's the Al-Qaeda, and it's never going to end. However, you need to constantly show that, yeah, you guys can be sneaky and kill, but we'll destroy you in seconds, not just airstrikes. And I can't believe France, how powerful France has been. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. We're back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus. And I'm impressed by France, aren't you, Rob? They're not going to allow themselves to be destroyed like this. They are literally going to go to war with ISIS because of what they did to them.
That's no disrespect, but that's the company line, okay? And I'm not saying that country shouldn't defend
themselves. So you think if we were attacked, President Obama would send the troops in to fight?
I'm saying, these countries are run by morons, psychopaths, and losers, okay? This guy in France, what's his name, Holliday, whatever his name is, it's like, hey, dude, first of all, you join with the United States in this ill-conceived, idiotic war, this coalition of the willing. You destabilized all these stable, formerly stable countries. You took out all these leaders that maybe not that great. We're keeping these maniacs in check. I mean, the reason a lot of these guys were as ruthless as they were is because they knew they had to be, okay? Saddam was a guy like Gaddafi. He was a putz, okay, but he was secular, but he was smart enough to know that he had to be a ruthless bastard, because if he wasn't, there were more ruthless bastards coming to look to fill the power vacuum, and that's exactly what's happening throughout the Middle East, okay? So you engender the very refugee crisis that's causing tens of thousands of Syrian refugees, many to multiple reports, and many of these so-called refugees, I mean, look, some of them are legitimate because of the wars that we've been carrying out, but many of these so-called refugees are unfiltered and unvetted members of these terrorist organizations. So France and all these European countries let these people in wholesale, and voila, what do you know? There is a percentage that takes their Quran literally. If you ever read the Quran, it's terrible.
Can we go over the Quran one show?
But we could probably, I don't know if we have, or we probably could just read right out of it and just
yeah, read right out of it. Honestly, read right out of it. Kind of like we're doing Revelation after we're finished up with this.
I mean, anyway, so not to go off track here, but the point is, you know, now all of a sudden you have this attack, okay, and let's just forget the conspiratorial aspect of this attack. You know, how once again, you know, Western intelligence missed a very coordinated attack by a bunch of 7th century throwbacks, okay, you know, that whole thing aside. So now all of a sudden you get attacked. Now you go start the war. Now you start bombing these people. It doesn't make any sense, okay? So you know enough to bomb these people. You know where to bomb them. You know where to get them. After they struck in your capital city and gunned down, you know, how many hundreds of people in cold blood, now you go get them? It doesn't make any sense. So I think there's only a logical conclusion here, okay? And then you come to the United States, okay, and Obama, okay, you know, now we're killing these people overseas, we're starting all these wars, making the war safe for democracy, so called, but at the same time you're literally letting tens of thousands of these middle aged Syrian so called refugees in the country. Even the FBI itself was admitting they don't have time, they can't process these guys fast enough, and you're letting them into this country, and we're supposed to believe that this is all an accident. Okay, all the other countries in the world are being suppressed and killed, that we could take them in, you know, Christians from Africa that are doing a lot worse than the Syrians in Syria. Again, any tumult that's going on in Syria is courtesy of the United States to begin with. So it doesn't make any sense, okay? So the only logical conclusion can come to is they want the mayhem, they want these attacks, they want to keep the war going, they want to keep people on edge, and ultimately, again, I just, like a magnet, I keep going back to Revelation 17 and 18, ultimately, these maniacs are going to get what they wished for, okay, which is an event that is so awful that it can only be explained in a biblical context. So I guess to answer your question is it's all theater, I guess. You know, Shakespeare, okay, who again, you know, you talk about Shakespeare, you want to talk about a conspiracy, you know, I can bump off, go off the road for and talk about that for a second. I got a whole link, a whole thing on my website, you know, that Shakespeare, you know, was really Francis Bacon. Okay, Shakespeare wasn't Shakespeare, I mean, but anyway, remember Shakespeare's line, the whole world is a stage and we are its actors. So when you ask a question like that, you know, I'll give an explanation, but ultimately it's theater, okay? It's a show for the imbeciles out here, for the unwashed masses, just like in World War One, where nation after nation was whipped into nationalistic frenzy by the international bankers. And to this day, many historians look at World War One and saying, what the blank was that all about?
Exactly. Okay.
But
yeah.
Again, it's the same mentality that's happening today. This nationalistic, get the foreigners, the neocon, John Bolton, John McCain frenzy that was here.
Right, I understand all that. Let's just, okay,
So anyway,
okay. So you're not impressed. Understand. Let's go back to Revelation. We talked to 17, the prostitution on the beast, and I think we got to the point where we got with the 10 kings received a kingdom. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, language. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled." So this is at the end time, correct? This section right
here.
Yeah,
well, it's getting near the end. Okay,
But this is definitely where the devil's losing a little bit at this point, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you know, we'll try and, I know it's difficult and I keep going off on these tangents to try to tie things together. But if you go back to Revelation 11 and 12, when Satan is tossed out of heaven, he already knows he's lost. You know, he comes down with a great wrath, knowing that his time is short, and he persecutes the woman, which is obviously the bride of Christ, which is the church. Okay, the legitimate Christian church, and not the Roman Catholic oligarchy that many people mistake for Christian. So he's operating. So Satan is operating under the guise or premise of, I've got nothing to lose anyway, so I might as well get these psychopaths to kill each other. And in the big picture, that's exactly what's going on, okay? But to focus in on here, those three verses, okay, Revelation 17, 16 through 18, is pretty much the key to our conversation on these two chapters. And again, and I'm reading out of the King James Version, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Okay, that to me, that sends the alarm bells off. Okay, and that's and again, I wrote this, I don't know, six, seven years ago, that I went through this line by line scenario, but that to me tells me exactly what we're talking about before. The entire world, okay, the 10 horns represent the world. The sea of humanity represents the world. The beast, okay,
right,
is rising up out of the sea. It's the world, okay. You know, Satan's at the helm, okay. He's the image or he's the leader of it, but he's not the body of the beast. But anyway, and the beast is sinful humanity, by the way. But anyway, so they shall hate the whore. So this is, again, you could see this today. We were talking about this before, is that the world hates us. The world hates the United States.
Right,
and I'm
exactly
not saying it's without merit, by the way. Again, I'm not one of these, you know, America exceptionalism, you know, neocon maniacs, okay? I mean, we should be humble. We should be thankful. I'm not saying we should be weak, by the way. I'm not one of these either. We should be able to defend ourselves, but we should mind our own business, just like our founders prescribed. You know, we should trade with foreign nations. We should obviously negotiate with them and deal with them, but from a position of strength and not from a position of wanting to kill everybody and keep these perpetual wars going. But anyway, this is why the countries of the world hate us, okay? They don't have the crap news that we get in this country, you know, the mimbos and the bimbos on Fox News saying we got to kill all the brown people all over the world in the Middle East, and there's, oh, they got us on 9/11, so now we got to keep these wars going on and on. The people of the world, they actually have an unfiltered press, an uncontrolled press. They see us for the warmongering maniacs that we are, the hypocrites, okay? You know, the economy, our affluent lifestyle, and I'm not saying, you know, we don't deserve to have certain luxuries, but our loaning the world these fake fiat dollars. Don't think Russia and China. If you're reading the economic news and you're paying attention, and again, you're not going to see this on Fox News. Okay, what's going on with the yuan and the Russian ruble? And the Russians are waging a serious economic war on us, while these idiots get on these government bean counters and these other losers tell us we have 5% unemployment while 100 million out of 250 million people aren't even in the workforce. Okay, and this kind of stupidity is going on. And the people of the world looking at the United States and saying, well, we're like a punch-drunk old sailor running around starting wars all over the world. So the world hates us, okay? And this is what's going on in current events, looking at us. They don't want anything to
right,
do
exactly.
with
exactly. That's
my concern.
We don't really have allies.
Fake economy.
Yeah.
We start wars everywhere for no good reason. We're pushing
so would you be an isolationist? Would you call for isolationism, Rob?
Getting back to the geopolitical scenario, so no, I'm not a strict isolationist. I'm not. But, you know, to quote the great Michael Savage, I mean, borders, language, and culture. Again, that's a Michael Savage line, but and you combine it with what the founder said. They said, don't get involved in foreign entanglements. You know, obviously, if you got to protect your citizens, you got to protect yourself, then that's a different scenario. I'm not an isolationist, but this country should have its own currency, its own gold-backed currency, and it should be trading with nations and getting involved. I'm not saying don't get involved. We should be sending out missionaries to the world if we were a Christian nation and proselytizing as our nations, our founders prescribed. and that sort of thing. But the whole thing, again, this is much bigger than Obama. Okay, it's gone. We've gone off the deep end, and we haven't been paying attention. And all this so-called foreign policy and this chessboard and this grand chessboard, to quote a book by, you know, Rockefeller's underling Brzezinski, another New World Order psychopath, Zbigniew Brzezinski, okay, who wrote a book called The Grand Chessboard, talking about the world. The United States has been playing this foreign policy game for 100 years, and it's continuing to play. And it's all coming to fruition, okay? And again, people are on the outside of the world looking at us. And look what we did to Saddam. You know, we're the ones that started this war with Saddam. We wanted this war. None of what we said was true. Don't think that the world's looking at us. And now we're trying to, we did the same thing in Libya. Now we're trying the same thing in Syria. And you don't think, look at the countries surrounding Syria. You don't think that they're sitting there and say, wait a second, we're allies with these people, these maniacs. They're going to start World War III, trying to get rid of Assad in Syria, who wasn't that bad a leader. They're going to create another Libyan power vacuum. Think about if that was our neighbors. Think about if Russia came to Canada or Cuba or any one of these nations. Think about if the Russians came to Cuba and knocked out Fidel. Not that Fidel was a great guy, and then came in and installed this government that was 100 times worse than Cuba, and they had a direct pipeline into the United States. We'd be like, well, what the hell are you guys doing? Don't think the world, those countries over there, are saying, well, wait a second, you're going to start another war, this time with Russia? I mean, can you see it?
That would be destroyed. That'd be awful
because you're outside
this country.
Right. Our economy will literally implode if we constantly are in things. That's interesting what you talked about, Rob. We'll continue now at Chapter 18 of Revelation. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at TotalTutor. So I guess if we do a total starting out the week, if we start Monday through Sunday, we'll not count how many interviews. I'm back to the days of the clip about 2 or 3 years ago. Or when Rob met me, even more, I was interviewing every night 2 guests or 3 guests or 4 guests. But I'm in that clip this week with awesome interviews. Starting today, we had some interesting celebrities. And now this is such a perfect topic to talk about with the terrorist attack in France, with the Russian plane being blown up by ISIS. And what Rob believes that we can't be the world's police. We need to protect ourselves, but we can't be the world's police. So, Rob, would you put ground troops in Syria and have us defeat ISIS?
Yeah, again, we're being, you're asking a question, and we're kind of getting off the subject. But
no, I just want that question.
It's a geopolitical question that should not have to be asked, okay? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm saying, and I see where you're coming from, but it's almost like a trap, you know. We're at this point, damned if we do, damned if we don't, okay? Now,
yeah, truly.
If we wouldn't have gotten involved
in Iraq, which was no need, then we wouldn't have ISIS right now. Or if we wouldn't have left Iraq a couple years ago, we wouldn't have ISIS right now. So,
To answer your question, okay, again, we're being run by a bunch of irrational, psychopaths. We never should have gotten involved in these wars to begin with, okay? So now it's like, oh, we've got to get ISIS, we've got to go get them before we get us. But let me ask you this, does it make sense that, you know, you're even asking me that question, and we're considering sending troops halfway around the world to take on ISIS, who we armed and gave rise to, by the way. Does it make sense to do that? And then at the same time, let tens of thousands of these of them into this country wholesale, unvetted, and unscreened. Okay, so nothing makes any sense. You're going to commit us to it. It's just like Bush, with we got to get Saddam. We got to fight them over there before, you know, so we don't have to fight them over here. Yet, you know, our Mexican border is wide open. Okay, we're letting, who the hell knows we're letting into this country, again, unscreened, unvetted, and so nothing makes any sense. And so, no, I don't think we should go to war in Syria. I think we should leave it the hell alone, to answer your question. We should take every one of our overseas military bases should be shut down and the troops brought home, and you know, maybe that's not the ideal solution until they get this country, the situation in this country figured out, shut down the borders, reestablish this country, go back to a hard currency, you know, and get back to our founding principles. I mean, that's really and no foreign entanglements, and start negotiating with these foreign countries from a degree of respect and honesty, okay? But that's never going to happen. I mean, if you go out there and say that, if I went out there and said that as a presidential candidate, I'm more apt to get, you know, hauled off to some mental asylum by, you know, Obama's, you know, DHS or DH Stasi for being a right-wing extremist and being any kind of American patriot. So there really is no answer to your question.
Exactly.
In other words, we are blank, okay, is what I'm getting at. We're boxed in here, okay, and it goes back, again, we're getting back to the scenario where I believe these maniacs, it's either a combination of these maniacs that we're letting in on the screen or some kind of Chinese or Russian subswarm, we're going to get nuked, okay,
exactly.
Is what I'm saying.
We will, I wouldn't trust Russia at all. All right, let's go to chapter 18, let's see if that happens. Lament over the fallen Babylon. After I saw an angel coming down from heaven, he had a great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The king of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from the excessive luxuries." How would you talk, point up that verses, those verses in 18, in chapter 18?
Again, I mean, you know, read the first three verses. No, we just finished the last three verses of Revelation 17, where, you know, just to recap, we're talking about a nuclear strike on the United States or some kind of electromagnetic pulse strike or something that's going to destroy this nation and quickly. But that's after the economic collapse, and, you know, we went through that in previous weeks. Now we're into Revelation 18, okay? So just think about it, okay? Think about the fiat money printing press of the Federal Reserve System, okay, where in 1913 the money changes, so we talked about before, the modern-day money changers have allowed, with their system, their fake system of fiat money, have allowed us to become the so-called richest nation on earth. Okay, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, here we are in perpetual debt to the tune of hundreds of trillions of dollars, and then these idiots get out there and they still call us the richest nation in the world. It's actually kind of funny when you think about it. But anyway, so this is an economic nexus, an economic focal point. No other nation meets the criteria of these first three verses of Revelation 18 but the United States and its fiat money printing. I mean, it allowed us to buy how many trillions of dollars of Chinese imports and all imports from all throughout the world, okay, has come in to this country, okay, and a lot of it undeserved, again, because we don't produce anything in this country that the world really wants except the United States dollar. And the world was waking up. This is another reason why, getting back to what we were talking about before, this is another reason why the world hates us, by the way, because they're figuring out that they've been had. They've been had by the United States by investing in the United States dollars, and now they're finding out that these guys are a bunch of idiots, you know, these guys being us. They keep printing this money like Monopoly money, and all our investments are really turned to crap. Then you had this whole thing with these, you know, selling these so-called toxic mortgages to all these foreign governments. It's the latest example. Remember that whole scam? Mm-hmm. So it was the world looking at us like a bunch of con artists, okay, which we are, okay? The Federal Reserve System and the IMF is nothing but a textbook loan sharking operation, okay? They lend you money at interest that you can never pay back, and then they control you. So it's a textbook loan sharking operation when it comes down to it, forgetting all the crap that the Harvard and the Chicago economists are telling us. Okay, so this is kind of on the economic level. This is kind of what's being inferred here in these first three verses of Revelation 18. But it also says something, you know, interesting, a habitation of devils, a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every clean and hateful bird. Okay, that's a very interesting line. Okay, it goes back to ancient Egyptian occultism. Okay, birds were highly venerated. For example, remember what we were talking about before, the phoenix, rising from the ashes, okay, the Freemason / Illuminati symbol of the phoenix rising from the ashes. Now, the ashes, of course, being the world after these maniacs, have started World War III. Remember, again, page 9 of my site, boxofsunglasses.com, to go into this in more detail, the occult conspiracy. But anyway, the concept of the phoenix rising out of the ashes, that is the best symbol I can in the last few minutes that we have here that gets at this concept of every clean and hateful bird. Okay, that's what's in focus here. Okay, so that's the best I can do in the last couple of minutes here, as far as these three verses.
Okay, all right. So that's interesting. It's that every unclean bird for hunt for unclean and detestable animals. So that's what you looked at. Now, warning to escape Babylon's judgment. This is important for the people that are living. We're all living through this, Rob. We don't make the same mistakes that most people are making. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion for her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself."
Well, I think we got about 3 minutes left here,
I think that's where we'll next time we'll talk into more of that. But we're really close.
I just want to conclude with verse 4, just where it says, "Come out of her, my people." You know what's being getting at there is, you know, there is still plenty of time, not plenty of time, but there's still time for individual salvation. So if you're out there listening, I mean, all's not lost. But as far as a national revival of national salvation, in this country, United States, the shell of what was left of the greatest nation in the history of the world, it ain't going to happen. But anyway.
All right. Well, fantastic. Best place to find Rob. First spoken, learn more about your work. Can they go?
Boxofsunglasses.com. It's one word. And then the Twitter, @ Rob Roselli, one word. To contact me, and again, you know, the best thing you can do for me right now is I don't advertise, I don't have supporters directly. You just buy the book, and again, it's a snapshot of the conspiracy. And if you read that book, it's like an entree into the rest of the website, and a lot of what we're talking here will make a lot more sense. Again, boxofsunglasses.com.
All right, well, Rob, I've really enjoyed the conversation because, again, you're giving me a clear picture of some of the things that are going on and everything you've happened for predicted. I forget all the different things since we've been on the air for the last 7 or 8 weeks, but they've gone really downhill, everything we've talked about. We'll see where next week brings. We were thinking, okay, some joke tweets, but now we're really talking about serious things. What will the United States do? What will the rest of the world do? So we'll figure it out, Rob. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right,
that was
it.
Rob. That was Rob Selly. Take care, everybody. All right, let me shut this. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.
Hey, check out these sweet reindeer socks. Only 99 cents.
Oh, yeah? Got this Samsung Tab 4 8.0 from AT&T for free.
Free?
Had a hard time finding a stocking it would fit in, though.
Whoa, no need to rub it in.
Rubbing it in would be telling you I got the tablet for free when I bought a new Samsung Galaxy smartphone on AT&T Next, which I did.
Oh, AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Free tablet requires 2-year agreement. Must activate eligible service on both Galaxy devices. Fees, charges, and restrictions apply. Available at select locations. See store for details.